This is Molly Hemingway, encouraging you to listen to my favorite podcast, Issues, Etc. Every day you get in-depth interviews with host Todd Wilkin asking expert guests substantive, thought-provoking questions on all of the important news and issues of our day. The expert guests are in culture, law, ethics, philosophy, theology, and apologetics. Expert guests, expansive topics, always extolling Christ. Issues, etc.
The thing that unites them as Christian nationalists is that they believe that our rights as Americans, as all human beings, don't come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. They come from God.
When the devil comes knocking on the door, I need to be able to turn and say, Lord Jesus, would you mind answering that? Let him confront the devil.
I think the more casual services take us away from that certainty into the experiential realm. And when you live by the experience, you die by the experience. When you live by the feelings, you die by the feelings. And it's a dangerous spiritual place to put people.
The Bible is not a bunch of fortune cookies. It's this grand tapestry with dozens and dozens of beautifully interwoven storylines that we weave together to present Christ to us and Christ for us.
East Tennessee backpackers love listening to Issues, Etc. while hiking through the world that our God has made and joining with David in the 8th Psalm by proclaiming in all the earth, O Lord, our Lord, how glorious is your name.
J.K. Rowling, Riley Gaines, Laura Ingraham, those are just a few of the women who have opened up their eyes to the fact that men, sometimes boys, are entering female sports and not only are gaining an unfair advantage, taking a lot of records and awards, but also committing acts of violence. Where are the men? Where are the fathers? Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon, the 14th of March. We're going to be talking about dads, daughters, and male athletes with Zachary Mettler of Focus on the Family. Pastor Tom Baker joins us after that. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus clearing the temple in John chapter 2. We'll discuss the Book of Mormon with Dr. Jordan Cooper, Executive Director of Just and Sinner. Then we'll get an update on the attempt by Concordia University, Texas, to reject the governance and oversight of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. Tom Halverson will join us. He's written a column titled LCMS Persists in Asserting Federal Jurisdiction of Concordia University, Texas Case. Joining us to discuss dads, daughters, and male athletes, Zachary Mettler. He works as staff writer and communications liaison at the Daily Citizen, Focus on the Family. And he's author of a column for The Federalist titled, Dads, Protect Your Daughters from Dangerous Male Athletes. Zach, welcome.
Todd, thank you so much for having me. Good to speak with you.
What did swimmer Riley Gaines say recently on Joe Rogan's podcast?
Yeah, she's a swimmer for the NCAA, and she recently called on dads to protect their daughters from male athletes who are harming them. She told Joe Rogan, and this is a quote, she said, I thought someone with political power, someone within the NCAA, quite honestly, I thought someone's dad would come down there and yank this man out of our locker rooms. Yet it never happened. And this is, again, a quote. I'm standing on the podium, and we're clapping, and we're smiling, and we're cheering, and it hit me. I'm like, what in the world are we clapping for, she said.
Are you surprised at all by incidents of violence that have been reported in girls and women's sports being perpetrated by boys and men?
To be honest with you, I'm really not. Once you start inviting males into female athletics and women's locker rooms, quite honestly, eventually, at some point, some daughter is going to get injured. And that was the piece that I wrote for The Federalist. You know, every time I see a male athlete competing against females in athletic competitions, I wonder, where are their fathers? You know, why is it that so few men are doing nothing to protect their daughters from transgender-identified athletes competing in girls' sporting events? I'm sure you've heard the quote, but it's often said that the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And I think, sadly, that has been what we've seen too often. Good men have done nothing to protect their daughters from male athletes who aren't just competing in sporting events, but are harming them and physically harming them in volleyball and basketball and other sporting events. This is truly unjust, and I'm calling on dads to stand up and do something about it.
Tell us about some of those incidents of violence.
Yeah, there's a couple incidents I'll point out. One was a Massachusetts high school girls basketball game. This was just a couple weeks ago. But the team forfeited after a male on the opposing team injured three female players. And the team decided to forfeit because the injured girls' female teammates were too afraid of getting hurt themselves. So it was up to these teenage girls to say, hey, three of our teammates have been injured by a male on the opposing team. We don't want to play anymore. And obviously that was the right decision. That was the right call. You know, I can see why they would be afraid. But I couldn't help but wonder, you know, why is it that it was necessary for them to make that call in the first place? Why was it up to these teenage girls to say that they were too afraid and too scared to compete against the male in order for the team to forfeit? This is profoundly unjust. And last year is just another example. There was a male high school field hockey player who identified as a girl, and he hit the ball so hard that it knocked out a female player's teeth. And I, in writing this article for the Federalist, I watched a video of her getting hit by the ball, and it shows her just crumpling to the ground and starting to yell and shriek as their teammates covered their mouths with their hands, and they all walked around in shock because they couldn't believe that that had happened. And again, every time I see a story like this, and the number of them keeps growing, I wonder, where were their fathers? Why are their fathers failing to protect them from male athletes who are doing them physical bodily harm? Why have so few fathers, especially after their daughters were injured by a male, stepped up and said, you know, not on my watch. I'm not letting this happen. I have to take action and do something. And so that's what I'm calling on men to do.
Who is sounding the alarm on these situations?
Well, there's a few names that I can give you, and I want to see if you notice a common thread through them. Here's just a few. You know, J.K. Rowling, she's been very fierce and active on Twitter supporting women's rights. I think of Riley Gaines, as we talked about. Megyn Kelly is another example. And then several athletes that are currently in court trying to defend their rights. Selena Soule, Alana Smith, Ashley Nicoletti, and Bethany Hamilton. She's a surfer. And as I read those off, the thing you notice is that they're all women. And good for them. I think we need more women who do stand up and speak out. And Riley Gaines, I mean, she's on the Joe Rogan podcast, as we talked about. She's gone viral many times on X, you know, defending her rights. But where are the men again? And that's the question I'm asking. Why are no men stepping up to confront other men who are doing their daughters physical harm?
Is the invasion of female sports by males a problem apart from the incidents of violence?
I don't think so. You know, again, obviously, if fathers, their daughters are being physically harmed, that's certainly a problem. But it definitely is a problem if men are taking places away from women. Just another couple examples here. In New Jersey, we saw transgender-identified swimmer Megan Cortez Fields. She competed for 3 years on his college's men's swimming team before suddenly switching to the women's swimming team and set school records in the women's 200 individual medley. And so that's just one example of something that's unjust that's occurring. And then over 3 years in Connecticut, this is a case that Alliance Defending Freedom, the great nonprofit legal organization, is taking up. There were two male athletes who broke 17 girls' track meet records, took more than 85 opportunities to advance to the next level of competition, and won 15 women's state track championship titles. And so in my op-ed for the Federalist, you know, I contend that it's past time for women to stop paying the price for men taking away their places, their awards, and their health and safety. I don't think that women should be forced to sacrifice their bodies and their talent and their hard work. These women train for years to compete at this level, especially in high school and college. They should not be forced to give up all of this for men who think that they are women. And I'm calling on men, other men, to call it like they see it. They should oppose male athletes who are competing against their daughters and stand up and protect them. And you know how far men go to protect their daughters, I think, is a conversation that needs to be had. But in order to have that conversation, first we have to have men do anything. You know, we have to have them do something. And then we can talk about how far men should go to protect their daughters from harm by male athletes.
What do you think the goal of allowing boys to compete against girls ultimately is?
That's a great question. I think that for male athletes, many of them, to be honest with you, are mediocre in their sport. They aren't competing up to a very high level in their own sexed division against other men. They don't perform very well. And so for them to switch to the female competition and compete against women, like I said in the example from Connecticut, all of a sudden, these male athletes who are not very good, who are mediocre, who are average, become very good at competing against women. And so that's probably the goal for them. Generally, they just want to perform better, perform at a higher level. But again, that comes at a great cost to women who have to compete against these men.
Why are men and fathers hesitant to speak up in defense of their daughters?
Well, I think there's probably a couple of reasons. One is just political correctness. And I think men can sometimes be afraid to stand up and go against the grain of the way the culture is going. But I think, to be honest, a lot of men today, I think we're too comfortable with our lives. Not that men don't work hard. Obviously, I work hard. I'm sure you work hard. But we're too apathetic. And I think sometimes we're just too nice. And I like to consider myself a nice guy. But there are times when righteous anger, righteous indignation is absolutely justified. And when your daughter is being physically harmed and abused by a male athlete, that is one of those instances where men should get out of their comfort zones and take action in some sense. You know, I think of C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite authors. He wrote in The Abolition of Man, "We make men without chests and expect of them virtue and enterprise." And then to continue, he says, "It is not excess of thought, but defect of fertile and generous emotion that marks them out. Their heads are no bigger than the ordinary. It is the atrophy of the chest beneath that makes them so." And so I think just today that kind of describes men in general today. We don't see men taking action because we've made men without chests and we're too comfortable and we're too nice. And that's something that needs to change if we're going to see change in this culture and change in making sure that women can compete against women and men can compete against men. This used to be common sense, and I think we were kind of blindsided, and this shift in the culture occurred so rapidly that I think it caught a lot of men off by surprise. That's a fair point, but that doesn't give you license to do nothing. And so I'm calling on men to do something, whether it's if your daughter's competing against men in sports, stand up for her, running for a school board, running for office. There's many things you can do, but I'm calling on men to do something to confront this crisis.
How would you advise a father of a daughter athlete whose team or league is allowing boys to play on girls' teams?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to be prudent and thoughtful and considerate in how you approach it. But, you know, I was raised to respect and care for women. I know that men are supposed to protect and provide for their families, protect and provide for their daughters. And, you know, if you're a father who's kind of reticent to stand up for your daughter, you know, I think there's a suggestion here, and that's from Ecclesiastes 4:12. Which says that though a man may prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. And so, you know, if you're a father who's shying away from standing up for your daughter, don't go it alone. Join forces with other fathers that you know, other dads that you know. And, you know, if you have a group of men who are there standing against this, that's much harder for the other side to oppose. And it makes standing up for your daughters and for other girls in sports much easier.
Zachary Mettler works as a staff writer and communications liaison for The Daily Citizen at Focus on the Family. He's author of a column for The Federalist titled "Dads, Protect Your Daughters from Dangerous Male Athletes." You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Zach, thanks.
Thank you so much, Todd.
Pastor Tom Baker joins us after the break. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus clearing the temple and the Jews demanding a sign next.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Hope for Healing, April 19th and 20th in Irvine, California, is a conference designed to address the issue of gender brokenness and more. Hope for Healing is for high school and college youth, as well as adults. Join Y for Life and Lutherans for Life to find out what makes your body a good gift and what happens when gender is disordered. Learn more and register at yforlife.org. Hope for Healing, April 19th and 20th in Irvine, California. Y4life.org.
Contending for truth in an age of antitruth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
America's tradition of liberty depends on having colleges and universities that equip young people for the responsibilities of freedom. At Concordia University Chicago, freedom is a pillar of our education. We prepare our students to live as free, self-governing citizens. I'm Dr. Rachel Ferguson, Director of the Free Enterprise Center at Concordia Chicago. I invite you to visit us. Discover what it means for freedom to become a pillar of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Memoria Press is a worldwide leader in the publishing of classical Christian education. We have everything you need for students in kindergarten through 12th grade, and our materials can be used in any classroom setting to suit your needs. If you're interested in learning more, visit them at memoriapress.com and use the coupon code LPR24 to save $5 at checkout. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.